Thank you again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. I am your host, Jerome. We're on season two, volume or episode number 15. And man, it's going down in a major way all across the United States. I didn't really understand or know what I was going to be talking about today. And for whatever reason, I'm on TikTok. I'm a big TikTok fanatic at this point. And to be honest, we're going to be pivoting with the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. I'm not exactly sure how many episodes we may have, because I'm going to be doing just a lot more different things as far as food, entertainment, sports, fashion. And for that, you know what? I like to thank everybody that's been rocking with me for the past 3 years. You guys have been great. I really, really do appreciate my loyal supporters all over the United States, all over the country, all over the world, actually. So I really do appreciate that. I was on TikTok today, and I seen something. I have so many different interests. You know, I just love information, however I could get it. But especially when I could pretty much get the information right then, and I could break it down and I can understand it. And to me, that's what TikTok does, because I love food. And I was on there, I'm looking for recipes, and I'm watching all these different type of short snippets of shows and, you know, just different things. Then all of a sudden, I seen something that came across the screen that said homeless people in Atlanta act different, and they're bougie, and they will curse you out, and they're aggressive. So I'm like, interesting. Okay. And then it instantly brought me back to the previous podcast where I was speaking about if there is an eviction thing going on all over the United States. And I went into, you know, the top tier of people that's being evicted are single mothers, black mothers. And then, so I started to dig a little deeper, and then I found out that, okay, so, well, what's going to happen to them when they're evicted? And obviously the next thing would be homeless. And then I really didn't think about it, so I just put in the subject matter of homelessness in Atlanta. And before you know it, it was tons and tons of videos of homeless people sleeping under bridges, and how downtown Atlanta is basically sprawling with homeless people. And at this point in time, my mind is starting to slow down. Because I'm thinking also, I should have probably made this a part two, but I'm also thinking that, you know, with the new immigrants that are coming in, what's going to happen? And is that going to cause friction? And then, you know, so now my mind is going there, right? So then I took a look a little closer and I said, okay, damn, Atlanta's a black city. But the homeless population in Atlanta, ladies and gentlemen, is almost 85% black. I want to say that again. The homeless population in Atlanta is almost 85% black. And I'm starting to look at these videos and I'm seeing these people and they begin to make friends with other people who are living normal lives. I've seen myself do this in my area as well. And I'm just like, and I seen this lady and she's like, oh, wow. You know, she's recording this guy. At first, I thought that she was trying to stunt. She was like, are you going to watch my car? You going to watch my car? Watch my car. Watch my car. You know, and the dude, you know, of course, he's probably 55, something like that. He like, who you talking to like that? You know what? I don't know if I want to watch your car. Now, she said, are you going to be here when I get back? Watch my car. He said, okay, I'll watch your car. This is a black man. This is an interaction between a younger, intelligent, smart black woman. Beautiful, by the way. Right? They're having a playful interaction. She's grown to start to have a connection with this man. See, this is what, and I'm going to get back on the subject, but this is what happens when we take our time to love on one another. Y'all didn't hear that. I said, this is what happened when we take our time to love on one another and remove that lens of expectation, fault, materialistic obligation, and connect. The man started to, he disappeared. The lady started to search for the man, the young woman. She seen him. They instantly, oh, come here. There you go, y'all. She almost broke down crying. The man hugged this young woman like she was his daughter. Do you understand me? Pure love from a black woman to another black man on a different level, though. Not on the romance side or anything like that, but it was on a family side, on a mentorship side. Just, you can't get nothing purer than that, ladies and gentlemen. That man broke down crying because, or almost broke down crying because, you know what? He don't get that. His life is absolutely robbed of affection. Do you understand? Now let me get back to where I'm going here. This was one example, and this is one city. But do you understand? How a big portion of our population is out in the cold, supposedly nowhere to go, nobody to turn to, and they're forced to fend for themselves. See, this is the reason why I said that we need to start practicing forgiveness forgiveness, y'all, amongst each other. Forgiveness amongst our family. Forgiveness amongst our friends. Regardless of what's going on. I said this a long time ago, and I want everybody on here to hear me. Way before this LGBTQ, I or whatever, however many vows movement really, really picked up and started having legs, I let everybody know. And I meant it when I said it. Hey, look. If you got somebody that's in your family that don't have the same preference as you, maybe they even want to do the trans thing. You got to love them still. Number one, what would God do? And number two, right? Who the hell else gonna love them if you don't? Your own family. So you thinking if it's hell in your own household, wait till they get out there. This is what all about being black first is all about. We don't give a damn who you is and how you come. If you black, we love you. And we got to accept all your faults because you black first. Think about, I talked about how many black children are in the system. It broke my heart when a special needs autistic 18-year-old black girl was deserted by her mother and father on her 18th birthday. They dropped her off at a shelter and kept going. That's what she got. Can you imagine what this woman, or what this young lady is trying to process in her head? It's people out there that's sleeping in cars, y'all. That is renting, they are renting storage units. Oh, yeah. They rent in the storage unit. The storage unit is going to cost, let me break it down. The storage unit is going to cost them about $200 a month. They have a car. So at the end of the day, when they leave their job, they drive into the storage unit. All right. And then they sleep in their car in the storage unit and do whatever they got to do. And then whenever they wake up and leave, they're going to go to a Walmart or a Target or something like that, shower. And then those are the lucky ones that could actually afford their car. This goes on to another misconception. All homeless people, they're not lazy. They're not dumb. They're not on drugs. They just in a messed up position, a very, very compromising position in a big city that they don't really know how to navigate. Now, I know a lot of y'all gonna be saying, now, you know what, Jerome, you mean to tell me a 35-year-old man, a 25-year-old woman that's out here, you know, doing this, doing that, they could, you know what, I'm gonna let you know something. You had never been out there in that cold or in that scalding heat all day. Or you had never been wondering if you over somebody's house and they invite you over and you'd have had a couple drinks and they saying, hey, you know what? It's getting a little late. Where you going tonight? You had never been in that position. Me, myself, personally, I done seen people in that position. Do y'all hear me? I have seen people in that position. I have seen grown men do this. Get with somebody that they're not really attracted to. But since they don't got their basics in life together, they needed to be with this person. So they lied to them and also lied to themselves, humbled them, pleased that other person just so they could get out of the winter, bro. So don't tell me. It's a little deep. And I want y'all to understand this. It's a little deep. And it's going to get deeper. This is one of the realest conversations I'm going to have because it hits home so much. And I've talked about homelessness in the past, right? If y'all listen to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast, y'all know that I have talked about this, but today it hits different. The reason why it hits different is because the demographic of people, and when I say demographic, I'm talking about ages, it's babies out there. That are homeless, y'all. And please believe, the same way that I said that all homeless people ain't this and all homeless people ain't that. It is some very, very violent, mentally ill, sick people that are out there that will do anything. Oh, yeah. So now it's a mesh to keep themselves what? Safe. When you don't have nothing over your head, you are not safe. It is murderers out there. It is people that will commit assaults out there. All types of stuff. It's robbers out there. Fighters. Anything that you could think of, it's amongst that element right there. Because at this point in time, what y'all don't understand is from a mental standpoint, some of these people are considering themselves the lowest of the low. They have given up. They can't understand, even though that we are out here and they see jobs and stuff and get done, they don't know, they don't give a fuck. They don't give a damn about that. Some people out there are strung out. Some people out there do have habits. So they don't, the path to get their life right, what? People ain't considering that. Are you kidding me? So can you imagine a 23-year-old woman out there single, she don't have no parents, she don't have no family. Who knows what a dad is at, and she got to fend for her and her baby. What? Get real. This is real. And she got to make sure that her and her daughter is properly clothed and fed on a day-to-day basis. See, me, the reason why I'm bringing this to y'all so raw, so uncut,
And I'm painting a picture for you is because guess what? If you ask black people, what are we doing? Oh, we doing just fine. Everything is fine with us. What y'all doing? Oh, yeah, we just did that last week. We just went to the Bahamas last week. You got that Gucci bag? Yeah, we just got that Gucci bag 2 years ago. What is you talking about? We got that. Yeah. The 760. The Lexus LS. The Audi. All of this. Yeah. But when we really start to take a closer look, I told y'all, we're not ready to do the heavy lifting. Because guess what? If we really paid attention, if we was really, really for us and us only, we will be able to go out here and help some of these people. But we don't want to do that. We don't have to. We don't want to put in the physical and mental. We don't want to go through it. For the betterment of our people. Now, let me let y'all know something. Since you're saying, you know what, Jerome, you tripping. We don't owe these people nothing. I think we do. Yeah, I think we do. And the reason why, because of this, right? We're living in the middle of a black homeless epidemic. Let me let you all know something, and I'm going to sort or cite some information. According to neighbor.org, racial minorities, and I'm reading this, racial minorities experience a homeless rate at a disproportionate amount. For an example, African-American or black people make up 13% of general population, but make up 40% of the homeless population. This was as of January 21st of 2022. Now I'm spot reading here. Spot reading. Do y'all want more? In Los Angeles, 38% of homeless youth in Los Angeles is black. Do we want more? Now we're starting to talk about cities and states, but I've already let y'all know. Listen here, ladies and gentlemen, it's everywhere. It's in every major city. California has the most, but guess what though? In California, the weather's nice. Think about Chicago. Real bad, man. Real bad. When it get cold. And guess what? Guess what they doing? They giving out tents. Yeah, they giving out tents. It's people that sleeping in tents for the winter in Illinois. And y'all want me to really say, you know what? Well, Jerome, what do you think we can do as a people. Do you think that we should open up our house and let these people in? Do you think that we should start being more susceptible to mental health? Because that's something else that we're going to go through. Matter of fact, we might as well go to it right now. And we're going to parking lot what I was just saying and get and start talking about some solutions, maybe toward the end. Because I haven't even went in yet. And this may sound funny. This may sound crazy. I think if I were doing it, if I was in charge, I wouldn't offer no food or shelter. I wouldn't offer these people tents. I would not provide them with toothbrushes. The ones that are capable. You know what I would do? Every single day. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about an organization. I'm talking about me and my people. You know what I would do every day? If I had the ability, if I had the opportunity, I would say, hey, gentlemen, guess what? I need everybody that want to go to work, come over here. If you want to go to work, come over here. Ladies, I need you to be on this side. Fellas, I need for you to be on this side. I need 200 people today. Yep, 200. And I'm gonna pay y'all $60. $60. Right? Matter of fact, I'm gonna pay you 80. Hey, look here. You're already in a shelter. How well are you with money? I'm not finna help you manage it, but how well are you with it? A lot of y'all ain't got here for whatever reason. If you really want to come to work today, you could come to work with me 5-6 days a week. We could find something for you to do around the city or maybe at my businesses, but we are gonna clean up. We're gonna clean up. See, this is when you start to make the real hard decisions. This is when you start to separate. This is how you start to shift a whole different form of way of living. Now you understand, you're giving these people, hey, look, if you do this right, by the end of the week, you will be at $400 every day, 6 days a week. Now, you mind you in a shelter. You getting 3 meals and everything. You don't got to spend that money. You don't have to. You don't have to. Eventually, we'll start to see people being able to get up and start going to work on their own. Hey, man, I want me a car. Hey, man, I want this. Hey, man, I want this. How about, hey, man, you know what? Now we need to, now we having a different conversation. And the ones that are over there that are getting high and doing all of this, now we got to have another conversation of putting them in placement. Okay, now these are the ones really and truly that we really do have to seek mental health treatment with. We cannot. I seen so many people today. Black people doing good, though. Everybody trying to help. Well, not everybody, but people are trying to help, bringing food, giving donations, doing all of this. At the end of the day, you could clothe and feed somebody. But if you ain't doing nothing to get them out of that situation, you ain't doing nothing but clothing, feeding them. That clothes is going to wear off, and that food, they definitely going to get hungry again. They definitely going to do that. We're not asking these, I wouldn't ask these people to turn their life around and be Barack Obama. No, but do you want to work? Are you too good to work? Well, guess what? We got tons of stuff around here. Do y'all know how many resources, money that are being spent on homeless people? See, this is, but see, check it out though. In places like Portland, Oregon, because they have a homeless epidemic that's out of this world. Uh-huh. And see that 85% thing that I was talking about in Atlanta? In Portland, 85% of the people is white. Aha. Uh-huh. So the only thing, I don't want y'all to think that this is only a black thing that I'm talking about. We talking about black people, but I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. We have to make it clear to our people, hey, look, we want you to be great. We want us to be great. Don't nobody really feel comfortable looking at their fellow. I don't care what you say and what you do and what part of you. I don't care where you at. It's a cold feeling, man. When you got to look somebody in the eye and say, no, I don't got it. And they like, damn. Because you know what? They take that personal. Because at this point in time, everybody has done what? Given up on them. Yeah. Everybody has. It is some very, very smart, articulate people that's out there. It's going to take a whole lot of work to bring them people back. Are we willing to put in the work as a people? I don't know if we're actually ready for that. I think this conversation is too ahead of us because we still are in the conversation of, you know what, when the girl said she don't want to go to Cheesecake Factory. Or when black men are constantly saying at this point in time that they have to date outside of their race to find a wife. See, we still on bullshit like that. I told y'all a long time ago that there's going to become a time, y'all. And it's right up the street. It's right around the corner. There's going to become a time that we're going to have to love and support each other, not based on love, but based on survival. Yeah. There's going to become a time when those women and those children are going to say, hey, look, we need what? Help. We don't care what's going on. Just come in and let me in your dough. What you mean? You want me to cook and you want me to wash dishes? Huh? While you go out and you, whatever you doing, you know what I'm saying? You make the money and we bring that home and we just barely getting by. Baby, that's good for me. That's good for me and my daughter. That's good for me and my son. Hold up, what? You don't want me to put this on? Right. There's going to become a time when that man is out there to saying, hold up, baby. Uh-uh. Baby, you just don't understand what I've been through in my life. I know. You feel like you can't trust me. I know that you've been cheated on. I know that you've been hurt. Baby, please. I'm begging you, let me in. I don't want to be out there anymore. So do you think this man is going to have a problem taking out that trash? Do you think he's going to have a problem when she come home and she be like, are you on the game? Like, no, baby, You know what? I just finished studying. Really, that game, we can wait. Well, where the key is at? Come on. Hey, y'all want some chicken? Come on, come on, come on. No, baby, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We can fry some. We don't got to go to Popeye's. Y'all want to watch a movie? Huh? Baby, you want me to rub your back? That type of stuff. Matter of fact, y'all, we going to church. Huh? Because guess what? They don't want to be outside no more. It's going to become a time when that woman in that house that's making that $75,000 gets so lonely. She ain't going to be able to stand it. Girl, if I spend one more holiday by myself, I'm going to go crazy. Look at him over there. He think he cool. He can't dress, though. I don't like him. This is what she's saying to herself. But you know what? He is a man. Even though he can't dress, he been driving that same beat up car for 7 years. But guess what? I had never heard nothing bad about him. I might want to give him a chance. Come here. You know what? Have you had dinner? I'm going to make you dinner this Sunday. All of that, you know what? Independent. I'm a boss and all of that's going to go out the window, y'all. Because this is going to be based off of what? Survival. Because that woman know the older that she get, she don't want to be alone. Are you serious? Her attitude is going to change. And it will change immediately. This form of thinking, y'all, is right around the corner. Do y'all know in 2053, they're saying that black people are going to be broke until infinity? That we're never going to have a net worth? We're not going to have nothing? And we got these people, we got a large group of brothers and sisters that's out here that's just on hard times. And we're ignoring them, turning our nose up at them, looking down upon them. And sometimes, y'all, we don't even see them. And I know, like I said, hey, look, it is some very, very, very evil, low down, dangerous people out there. But it ain't 40% of our population. Now, combine that with the amount of men that's in the penitentiary system. Combine that with the increase of black women going to jail. Y'all, we are in an epidemic, a homeless epidemic. We just haven't looked at it like this. I thank God that I was actually able to look and see. I'm not making a mockery out of these people. I'm not making a joke about this. This is serious. See, there was a time when black women was able to do what? Get on Section 8 and have those housing vouchers. That time is long gone, y'all. You don't hear too many people on Section 8 anymore. You see what I'm saying? Because guess what? If they was on Section 8, then guess what? Their rent would be cheaper. These people, some of these people, they made bad decisions. I'm not finna let up on them. I'm gonna tell y'all the real unadulterated truth. A lot of them made bad decisions. They out there for a reason.
But just because they out there, y'all, I think it's us. I think we got to do something about this collectively as a people. Yeah, collectively as a people. And guess what? Y'all could say this and y'all could say that. Hey, look, I'm fine with it. And it's okay. You know what? As usual, you could check me. I'm not in any way unapproachable. So now, check this out. This is how things start. There's a transitional homeless situation, meaning that this person just is in a, you know, they probably just lost their job. They didn't got evicted. So now, you know what? They probably move in with that girl. Girl that went through their phone or significant other that went through their phone. I knew you was texting that bitch. Get your ass out. So now they decided to, once they, you know what? I always knew I couldn't trust you. Up the band. So now they went, they done went and decided to stay with they what? They cousin on their couch. Okay. They with their cousin for a little minute. Cousin like, hey man, every day I come home, this dude got the music blasting. And now, instead of him replacing the cereal with his unemployment check, he ate all the cereal. He's selfish as hell. Man, hey, cuz, you gonna have to slide, bro. You know what I'm saying? All the cereal gone. And ain't no more milk. Then, the other day, you knew that there was my fried chicken up in there and you ate all the Popeyes, man. Only left me one wing and a thing of honey. Cuz, you gonna have to slide. So now, at this point in time, this is transitional homelessness, okay? So now, let me let y'all know what's going on. There's something that's called an epidemic of homelessness, okay? Chronic homelessness. And then this is what I was talking about also, the hidden homelessness, right? To where that person that you work with is always upbeat. Hey, oh man, you know what? You really did well today in the meeting. Fantastic. Hey man, you know what? We probably gonna hang out today, maybe next week. You know what? You think you want to come? Nah, man, I'm cool. Always upbeat. Guess what? They leave a job. They got to go through hell. They the one that got to, you know what I'm saying? Do what they got to do just to survive. But don't nobody know. Don't nobody know. It's a lot of people that's out here that's suffering in silence. Do you understand how much pressure that would be? This is not okay. And I think that right now, who in our Black community is really talking about the homeless epidemic and what can we do about it? See, now what people are starting to understand is, and it's not going to take that long, and it's almost a blessing that the immigration scenario happened, is because we needed to see one more time that these people would step over us. We needed to see one more time that our best resource is us. It's not the system. It's not them giving out WIC. It's not them giving out food stamps. It's not them giving out Section 8. It's not any of that. It is us. Our best resource is us. But guess what, though? We're too prideful. I'll say it. We're too prideful to come down off of our high horse and say, hey, man, do you need some help? We are too prideful to say, you know what, hey, look, to gather a group of people in Chicago and say, hey, look, we gonna do this right here. Outside of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, right? They've been doing it for years. But it's only so many of them. It's not enough for them, but it's a lot of us. See, this is when we have to start being strategic. You don't want to see your sisters and brothers suffer. These things are getting worse and worse every day. Along with the mental trauma that these people are experiencing. That's another thing. These people have mental traumas. See, we wasn't aware of what a mental trauma was. We weren't traumatized as children. You want to know why? Because we were surrounded by so much of love. Did anybody ever think about that? You didn't hear about kids being depressed, depression, because we were nurtured. You didn't hear about none of that. When they, are we really, for real, when we say it takes a village, are we really serious? Right? It takes a village? Well, how strong is the village going to be? The village is going to only be as strong as the people that are in the village. Do y'all get where I'm coming from right now? Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? We can't have our people being disenfranchised and expect to have a strong village. Do y'all understand? These children that are out there, these children are going to be broken. These children are going to be broken. How do we expect for them to lead the next generation if a good portion of them are going to be coming from areas within the streets and homelessness? See, these are the conversations that don't nobody want to have. Yeah. I'm willing to have these conversations. And I'm willing to double down and say that, guess what? If we focused on our people, some of the things and problems and issues that we're having, and the areas that we're at in society, we will be 10 times better, 10 times stronger, 10 times smarter, 10 times more resilient. We wouldn't be sitting back talking about dreaming about a revolution. We would be the revolution. See, a lot of people, when I'm talking about homelessness, black homelessness, a lot of people, when they hear the word revolutionary, they think about us actually involved in some type of, you know, race war. No. The revolution is within us. Because God is within us. When we come together as a people, that's what's going to make God smile.
When we come together as a nation, that's what's going to make God smile. When we start to produce better women, children, and men, that's what's going to make God smile. Salute to Sexy Red. I know a lot of y'all going to be saying, well, you know what, Jerome, you know what type of music that she make. She's a 23-year-old young girl. Young woman. Who the hell you think raised her? This is what I'm talking about. It's our mindset. We have to change it. We just can't expect this stuff to happen overnight, y'all. And we damn sure can't expect that mindset to come from 40% of the homeless population. Are you kidding me? See, we're in a unique situation to where that we have to overachieve. We have to respond. We have to act. That's the reason why I'm saying, I always say it, we're the ones that are special. We're the ones that are special. No one else. It's us. You want to know why? Because if we do this ourselves, then guess what? Guess what the rest of the world is going to do? Well, the black people did it. Those black people with they blinged out cars, fancy shoes, nice houses, educated, God-fearing, dancing, fried chicken, watermelon-eating ass people, then came out there and went in the field and they didn't pull their people together. You know there's going to be a sentence like that. But damn, they sure did it, didn't they? What they did? Yeah. God will open up the heavens. For all y'all that don't even believe in God, you know what? The all types of good vibrations. Karma. Positive reactions would happen if we went out there and rescued our own people. Those people are enslaved. In broad daylight, and we don't even know it. They're in mental chains, and we are not recognizing that. What? So now I'm going to flip the coin, as Kanye West said. And y'all could get mad at me, but let me ask you this. Now, is slavery a choice? Right now, is slavery a choice? For you to come home and allow yourself to be dominated every day, mentally and physically, for you to be controlled every day. That's another conversation. But check this out. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to end the podcast today. Man, y'all been great. Thanks again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. I'm your host, Jerome. Man, season 2, volume number 15, episode number 15, the Black Homeless Epidemic. Y'all holler, man. Share this podcast. Start a discussion. Put something into action.
Let's start to save our people.